The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max. Monday Night Raw Review.
Hello and welcome to the W2M Net Raw Review. My name is Brandon. I am your host, and joining me for the second week in a row, Cedric Cologne. How's it going, Cedric?
It's going good. It's going good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So we start off with the Shield coming out, talking about how, you know, they got their business done at Fastlane, but now they basically go off in their separate ways. Roman, we don't know what he's going to be doing yet. He said he hasn't had a singles match in 5 months, and he wants to correct that and wrestle tonight. We'll talk about that more later. And then we're on the road to WrestleMania. Ambrose has his business to take care of too, whatever it is. But Rollins is the real business, him facing Brock Lesnar. And Roman asks him how many years has he been chasing the dream, and then Slay the Beast chant starts up. Roman says that's exactly what Seth is gonna do. And, just them basically just saying, that praising Seth and saying that he's gonna slay the beast and everything. That brings in Paul Heyman, who says his normal thing. One thing I know was funny here was, Seth trying to imitate, Heyman with his whole Brock Lesnar stuff. So that popped me. And then it was kind of interesting, and I don't know if you follow, like, the rumors and some of the backstage stuff as much as I do, but, this play, like, for whatever reason, I guess because, Brock likes the dynamic between the two opposites. He likes facing smaller guys and seems to have better matches overall with the smaller guys. And they kind of reference this in this promo, but in a kayfabe way, where Seth was like, he can dominate all these big guys, but then when it comes to the smaller guys, he has issues and it takes him a little while to get used to it. Paul, rightly so, I might add, and this is another good kayfabe way of explaining it away, mentions how for those matches with the smaller guys, all of those three matches against Daniel Bryan, against AJ Styles, and against Finn Balor over the last couple of years, he didn't have a full time to prepare for them because those matches were changed relatively soon to the matches starting themselves. All in all, what did you think of this whole opening segment?
I actually enjoyed it. Let me start by saying, I think I heard the big dog in the background. So, Roman, calm down. I'm not sure that was the actual Roman Reigns or that was your dog.
No, that was my dog. He was trying to get involved. Yeah, he was trying to get involved.
I thought it was Roman, so I was like, nope. Roman, you need a... No. Anyway, it was kind of odd to a certain point, but I'm actually, they did it the way they did it, where the goodbye for the Shield was kind of very quick, very to the point, led by Roman, which, as we all know, he's currently, and has been for a while, the top figure in that trio. Mm-hmm. And he just went straight to the point, you know. I haven't wrestled for 5 months. I need to wrestle. You know, Dean is Dean. And I love the way they keep playing this whole, he's not going to sign his contract to continue with WWE. So whatever he's going to do, he's going to do. And then I'm glad that he put the main focus on Seth, because at the end of the day, Seth is the one that has the opportunity now to wrestle for the title in WrestleMania.
Well, let me ask you real quick first. Well, oh, were you going to say something else?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you something real quick first, but before we move on to the latter part of the segment and then the match that resulted from it. What do you think about this whole Dean thing? Do you think this is all a work and he's staying? Do you think he's going? Do you think he's going to end up in AEW? What do you think ends up happening?
I think there has to be some sort of work on it, because I've never seen before WWE hype so much somebody leaving and not signing a contract. One thing that I've discussed with other folks is, what if down the road, for the first time in a long time, WWE has actually a partnership with another company that we're thinking is a rival? So I'm really curious to see how this is going to all come out, because, again, I've never seen before, and I've been following wrestling for at least 30 years or more. I had never seen WWE hype so much someone leaving, because they keep mentioning it every single time that Dean is on the TV screen.
Yeah, that is something that is weird. I don't know if I would go as far as, you know, what you were implying there, like that WWE and AEW may have some sort of working relationship or something like that. That I don't think is the case. But considering how much they've been mentioning it and all of that, I would love to see him go to AEW just to see what he can do, and because it would be a huge coup for AEW. But I have a feeling you're probably right, that this is probably a work just because of how much they've been pushing it. It feels kind of... The closest thing I can kind of compare it to, and this worked as well, and part of it was a complete shoot, but the closest thing I can compare it to is the whole CM Punk Summer of Punk pipe bomb stuff, where he made it known that his contract was up and, you know, that he was going to leave the company with the title.
And that actually worked for his time, but in this case, he doesn't, unless some last minute thing happens, he will be leaving no title. He's been pretty much on a losing streak outside of the victory that they had on Fastlane. So I don't know. It's going to be weird. It's going to be interesting whatever happens, because
that's the only reason why, like, again, this could all just be a work. I don't know what the reasoning for him losing per se would be. But that's one reason why I'm kind of wondering if it may be legit, because yes, they've been mentioning it a lot, and we, like you said, we've never really seen this, with a few rare exceptions, in WWE before. But at the same time, they've been having him job out to people pretty consistently since this whole thing came out. So could this be a situation of WWE, because he's not re-signing, and because he's made his intentions clear that I'm going to greener pastures, that they're basically, in essence, trying to bury him for the, you know, WWE-only fans by having him lose all these matches and basically telling them that he's a traitor and stuff?
Who knows? Who knows? Again, yeah. it's to do it that openly, that's the part that's kind of surprising.
Definitely. Then, after they do the whole thing back and forth between Heyman and Rollins, Heyman says, "You think you know Lesnar, you don't know Brock Lesnar at all." And then Shelton Benjamin attacks Seth from behind, giving him a bunch of German suplexes and basically being like the placeholder for Brock pretty much at this point. I liked it because, I mean, and they referenced this a bunch, and I actually forgot about this, but, you know, Shelton and Brock were apparently both at the University of Minnesota at the same time, and they trained together and whatnot. They have the same sort of background. Yes, Brock did more with, you know, MMA and whatnot, but they both have that amateur wrestling background. What do you think about this as, and I'm assuming that this is going to continue as basically Shelton being the, you know, the placeholder for Brock so that, you know, Seth, in essence, has someone to feud with before Mania.
Well, first of all, I'm actually happy that they explained the relationship, or even if it's just business, but at least the correlation that he and Lesnar had, because if not, it would have been extremely odd.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, no, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I didn't even... I think I did see that once before, but I completely forgot about how they were both at the University of Minnesota. So, like, them explaining that definitely helps, especially even the more casual fans who may not know at all about their background. So it helps make people understand why Shelton is helping Brock.
Yeah, definitely. That was really good explaining, you know, from the college to I think he even mentioned that he helped them train for wrestling as well. So yeah, that was pretty good. I just feel sad, man, I remember Shelton when he started in probably WWF. I can't remember if it was F or E at the time. Before where he started to now, that was such a huge name, and to see him now kind of just lurking in the shadows, it's sad, but at the same time, I'm happy that at least they're putting him into a storyline, and they might be using him a bit more because he is talented. Mm-hmm. People talk about some of the crazy stuff that Kofi's done with ladders and Royal Rumble and stuff like that. There's a lot of highlights of Shelton Benjamin and things that he's done as well for the company.
And you can't forget Shelton in the the greatest tag team of all time or I forget exactly the team name, but him and Charlie Haas, fellow CN Hall alumni. So Shelton. I mean, I really started watching wrestling full time when he was at the tail end of his first run, when he was doing, you know, the Gold Standard and stuff, and he wasn't really doing much at the time, and then was released shortly thereafter. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see him finally get something, and hopefully this will be something for both him and Seth to do in the next couple of weeks leading up to Mania. What do you think of the match as a whole first?
Again, it was kind of awkward because it came out of nowhere, mm-hmm. especially the released German suplexes a la Suplex City, mm-hmm. Lesnar style. But it was fast paced at moments, and it was a little bit slower paced than others. But for the most part, I enjoyed it. I like the fact that he even tried to do the F5.
Well, yeah, I was just about to say that. I kind of wish that he would have been able to hit that and then have like Seth kick out of it just to show Paul that, yes, he can kick out of an F5. Yes, it's not coming from Brock, but still, like... Like, this could be an interesting little mini-feud, like I mentioned, going into Mania of Seth facing off against, basically, Brock's black doppelganger.
Yeah, because it was pretty... It kind of showed that if Shelton can have his way with you during the match, even though he came on the losing end, he did dominate for a while. Mm-hmm. What can Brock, which is going to be bigger, they kind of make it seem like faster and more maniacal with his brutal attacks, what's going to happen then? So even in the victory, I think they were trying to show, like, if Shelton can do this, what can Lesnar do to you. So it was interesting. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of folks that, because it came out of nowhere, they might not enjoy it. But I enjoy the storyline, and I definitely enjoy the explanation that led to this actual match. That's what
did it for me. I think another thing, too, that a lot of more, you know, casual fans, not just on a wrestling, not just on a pro wrestling side, but, you know, going into, you know, amateur wrestling and MMA and stuff as well, may not get the correlation quite as much as, you know, some of us do who pay attention to it more. But yeah, this definitely works. The only other person that, you know, Shelton works fine, and I'm glad that he got this position. And I know this other person is already in a feud and is doing much more things than Shelton Benjamin is right now. But the other person that would have been interesting to have put into this spot is Bobby.
Mm-hmm. It is, because Bobby has, in the past, publicly challenged Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I thought that when they brought Bobby back into this his current run, I actually thought they were going to focus it more.
I thought they were against
Lesnar, especially after Goldberg was focused with him because of the previous ending that they had on the past. I actually thought they were going to bring Bobby to feud with Lesnar.
Now, I don't know how well this would go, and this is complete fantasy booking, and I'm pretty sure Bobby would get destroyed on both levels. But just out of the curiosity of it and whatnot, I would love to see WWE either A, you know, team up with UFC or whatnot, or do something where you have, like, a best 2 out of 3 situation with Brock and Bobby. Go amateur wrestling, pro wrestling, and MMA.
That would definitely be interesting, because at what point do you put the actual, how do you say it? Oh my gosh, I lost my thought. So we know these matches are predetermined.
Yeah.
So how much of that would actually be in it? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
could you allow them to do at least part of it, Corey, kind of discussed previously, but most of it, actual, you know, amateur wrestling, MMA, and then finishing maybe with a wrestling match that would then be the part more choreographed, if you will. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the pro wrestling match would be worked out, but the other two, I would let them just go at it. The only thing about it that would make it kind of tricky is that, you know, what I would probably do is I would put I'd put one of the two legit, like, let's say, I would say do amateur wrestling first. Whoever wins that is going to lose in the pro wrestling match, which would be the second match, and then do the MMA match as the third, as the be-all, end-all.
Definitely got to get the crowd ready for the possibility of blood a la Randy Orton.
Well, yeah, of course, but that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't necessarily, like, yes, ideally you could do it all in WWE, but, like, the best way to do it would be to, like, team up with UFC and, you know, do the first two, do the amateur wrestling match and the pro wrestling match on WWE TV, and then let them go into the octagon afterwards. But it would be co-promoted between the two. That's crazy fantasy booking, but, you know, it would be a lot of fun, and I think it would sell a lot. It would be a big draw, that's for sure.
Have people talking.
Oh, yeah, it would. Next we get the next contest scheduled for One Fall.
One Fall?
which I didn't do again on the first match because we talked about that. That's the issue with WWE with the opening matches is that they transition directly from like the opening segment. So like I always forget to do it because, you know, I'm talking about the opening segment. But yes, this match is a match for the WWE Intercontinental title between Bobby Lashley, the aforementioned Bobby Lashley, and Finn Balor. Segway. This was an interesting match. I mean, it was a good match all in all from the beginning, and then the finish was very weird. Leo Rush comes out, who wasn't at ringside initially for Bobby's for this match because of Braun Strowman throwing him around like a ragdoll last week. But he comes out and starts ringing the bell over at ringside, thus distracting Finn Balor and allowing Lashley to get the win and get the Intercontinental title back. First off, what do you think of this match? And then I've got a follow-up question for you.
I kind of enjoy the match. You know, they keep showing how strong Lashley is, how athletic his wrestling, especially mixed with his amateur background. He's a pretty good wrestler, and also knowing his MMA background, you can see the total package during his matches. But we obviously know the results, and that to me is where I have a problem. You have Seth at the beginning of the show talking about how Finn took Lesnar to the deep end and almost won. But on this match, he was pretty much ragdolled. And I think ever since he won the title, he's pretty much ragdolled by whoever, whether it's Lashley or Corbin and McIntyre when they've teamed up, or three. So part of me is like, why put the title on him, knowing how much the fans have been asking for it, and just allow him to have the title for barely anything?
Go ahead.
Was that? Right, that's the one thing that I did not like about that. Mm-hmm. But it kind of makes sense. If you're going to put Leo back into the good graces of Bobby, then definitely Leo had to play a huge part on this victory.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's still... I enjoy the match. The ending was kind of odd. But at the same time, I'm a big Finn Balor fan. Yeah. And to see him just have that title barely enough time and barely even defend it, it kind of throws me back with R-Truth. I know I'm not part of the SmackDown review, but it kind of throws me to think, like, also when R-Truth won the U.S. title, just to lose it as quick as he did. Like, what is up with these short reigns? Are you trying to appease the fans? Which, in all honesty, doesn't make it any better, because you've been waiting for these guys to have a title just to lose it so quickly. So, I don't know. That was kind of odd to me. I enjoyed the match, but the ending, still a little bit odd.
Yeah, well, one thing that I just thought of, and you actually made me think about it when you were talking about how quickly Balor lost the title and how it feels so disappointing. The follow-up question I was going to ask you was, where do you think this leaves Balor going into WrestleMania? And what I was thinking was, especially, I know that automatic rematches aren't technically a thing anymore, but you could have Balor face off against Lashley at Mania for the title one-on-one, and he does something that he hasn't done in a while. I think you know what I'm talking about.
It's time to see the Demon King come out at least one more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so bring out the Demon for Mania. It's the biggest show of the year. You know, use the Demon to have him win the title. And then you can have him have a lengthy reign. Hopefully. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. you know, hopefully it happens. I have a bad feeling that we're probably going to get some sort of multi-man match, maybe like a ladder match or something for the Intercontinental title at Mania. But we'll see what happens there. Next after that, we get Baron Corbin being interviewed, and him talking about his comments he made right after Reigns went away because of his leukemia. He says he's not worried about hurting people's feelings. He says again he wanted Roman gone. And now that he's back, fine. But overcoming that disease took its toll. And he's going to get exposed tonight. Next we get Rousey coming out. Telling the crowd to take their applause and shove it. Says she doesn't give a damn what anyone thinks of her. Becky's a coward, yada, yada, yada. After that, Dana Brooke comes out, which was weird. I don't understand why she, of all people, is coming out to try to defend the locker room or whatnot. But she says, like, she's always been fighting for a chance, she loves the business, all of that. Ronda attacks her, hits her with all of her moves, eventually hits a ref. What do you think of this new heel Ronda, and where do you think this leaves her come Mania? Because, like, I saw something where, like, you know, she's endeared herself to a lot of fans, throughout her run up to this point, and I feel like no matter what you do with her, some fans will still like her. So what do you think of this whole thing, and who do you think, I mean, I obviously Becky's gonna get the biggest reaction at Mania, but how do you think the fans are gonna be split at Mania?
First of all, this new Ronda, I love it. And mm-hmm. It's not the new Ronda. This is WWE allowing her to be herself.
Yeah, true.
I really think this is who she really is. The you know, shove it, shove your applause, calling bandwagoner the B word.
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, how one moment you like me, and the next moment you're against me. That's pretty much what she's been at in her career.
Mm-hmm.
She goes from being the beloved one to having fans turn on her, even in MMA. So mm-hmm. I really enjoy this persona. And I definitely like what she said at the end. I'm not going to do my move. If you want to see me do an armbar, pay $60. Pretty much saying you'll see it on the pay-per-view, but I'm not going to give it to you for free. That's pretty, as Ronda being Ronda. And that was great. It mm-hmm. actually, I think it lifts her up more into her persona as the Raw Women's Champion. Brooke coming out. I actually thought the same thing you did, that it was kind of odd, but going back and thinking of what she said, you know, it kind of makes sense that it was her. It's almost like, here's a kind of, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I mean it in the realm of wrestling, in mm-hmm. the business. She's pretty much a nobody
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the who's who's in the women's division.
Oh yeah.
But I'm sure that she would like to be someone. She would like to be able to someday hold that title and actually have a, you know, a good reign. So it makes sense for her to come out and say, you know what, you've been handed this because of who you are, and here I am, someone that's actually trying my best to get there, but nobody's paying attention because nobody really thinks I can make it. And truth be told, her wrestling is not the best, but she's still trying.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, and the passion that, you know, the passion that she showed to me was real. So even Dana, you know, applause to her. I take my hat off to her because she did a really good job to build that one segment as quick as it was. She did her part. So I think, like you said, most of the fans are going to be on Becky's side. Charlotte plays the heel so well as well that I don't think too many Charlotte fans are going to be there. But no. Every time she does a chop, people are going to woo.
Oh, of course.
On all that. And Ronda, I think Ronda's going to get the biggest heat from them. So it's going to be odd, too, two heels versus not so much a heel, but she's like the Stone Cold, where she has the rebellious attitude. So, so I think it's gonna have everybody booing when Charlotte and Ronda, which I wouldn't doubt seeing them double teaming Becky, but if at the end of the night Becky wins the title, she's gonna get the biggest pop. And it all was because these other two ladies played their part as heels perfectly to get to this point.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I mean, it also helps that Becky has been, you know, doing what she's been doing for the last, you know, 6 months or so. The next contest scheduled for one fall is a tag match between Aleister Black and Ricochet versus Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. This was pretty much just to take Bobby Roode and Gable out of the title picture. Aleister Black and Ricochet win with the Black Mass. Yeah, I mean, it was a good match. I mean, these guys can put on a good match with each other, all four former NXT guys. You know, but this is pretty much just to get the get Bobby Roode and Gable out of the picture, and then Revival attacked Black and Ricochet afterwards as they were leaving. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's where we're going for the Mania match. Any thoughts on that match?
I would like for them to decide to leave Ricochet and Aleister Black on one of the brands. Yes, they can go to NXT and do their thing, but don't have them both on Raw and SmackDown. If they're gonna build the feud with the Revival, then leave them there. Let that feud build on Raw, and not do the whole Raw and SmackDown as well.
I'll agree with that, especially considering they're feuding for the Raw Tag Team Championships at this point. So, if they're going after the titles on Raw, shouldn't they be exclusive to Raw?
And if you want to bring up another team to feud in SmackDown, then I would rather see that. Rather see an NXT team on SmackDown and then Aleister and Ricochet on Raw and build it that way. Because you can't really have them feuding on both sides for both titles unless you're going to some way somehow make it make them have both titles, which would be really weird. So just put one team on one brand and then bring up another team from NXT to fight on SmackDown.
They probably were going to do that initially with having Gargano and Ciampa on one and then Ricochet and Black on the other. But now with Ciampa being out, they probably don't want to call up another team so quickly, especially because it dilutes NXT even more.
Okay, so definitely then leave just Black and Ricochet on.
Yeah.
The match was good. It's amazing the things that Ricochet can do. Aleister sells his Black Mass kick amazingly. And the people who take it, like this time Roode, they definitely sell that kick as being as destructive as it's being advertised. I kind of feel for Roode and Gable because we all know Roode before WWE. Great career. His time in NXT was amazing, especially as their champion. And then he gets brought up to the main roster, and it's been hit or miss. This thing with Gable, I didn't think it was going to go anywhere, and it actually worked out, especially some of their double-teaming moves were pretty good, kind of showing what happens when two folks really mesh as a tag team. You can actually see the teamwork, not actually two individuals, which is more what you see with Ricochet and Aleister Black. And Gable was definitely shining in that team more than Roode himself. And that's what I liked about the team that they formed. I kind of feel if they now go to the back of the line, what's really going to happen with this team. But overall, the match, it did what it had to do. And then the aftermath definitely builds towards WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, in regards to Roode and Gable, I mean, I definitely like this team better than I did Gable and Benjamin.
Bonus.
What?
Yes, I agree with you.
I know he's injured and he may never come back, but they honestly shouldn't have broken up American Alpha to begin with. That's the one thing that I don't like about WWE lately, is, and this has been a trend for a few years now, where instead of having these cohesive tag teams, they just seem to mesh two people together and just toss them out there and see what will happen. Honestly, like, and I still kind of expected this, I still expect this, and maybe now this will be what will happen, is, you know, Gable was being really annoying in the beginning of this tag team, and he still kind of is, and this could be the perfect opportunity to turn Rude heel.
They could, but hopefully, if they were to go that route, hopefully they have a good storyline to build it with. Again, I really enjoyed Gable and Rude. Gable at the beginning was just awkward to see him with Rude. And then yesterday when I saw him, the first thing I told my wife was, I really like the fact that you see all this emotion from Rude while he's doing his entrance. And Gable's kind of just going through the motions. It made it really interesting.
But yeah.
I hope they don't drop. I hope they build with what Gable has gotten as part of this team. But to your comment about breaking up teams, it almost seems that if a team doesn't get the pop that was expected, they immediately break them apart, which doesn't make too much sense, because it really hurts a tag team division. Just have two random individuals unite, unless you get what we got with the Bar. Two guys that were feuding on
even that, though. I mean, part of it may just be because I absolutely despised how they got created. But even that, still, like, yes, I know they are a legit tag team now, and they've won a bunch of titles and everything. They still just feel like two individuals that decided to team up together. And didn't even really decide to. They were forced into it.
Yeah, they're much better now than they were when they started. But I see what you're saying. But, you know, at least they actually ran with it. You know, you have them wearing the same outfit. They have their little signature moves, their little slogan. So they're more of a team than, for example, even a Ricochet and a Aleister Black.
Yeah.
Pretty much what I'm going with.
I'll agree with that.
And even Rude and Gable went from being two individuals to actually meshing, and you could see that. Yes, again, Gable shined as an individual, but when they were together doing double team maneuvers, it worked. It flowed.
Yeah, I can see that. Next, we've got a moment of bliss, and apparently she's gonna reveal who the host of WrestleMania is. Did you see this coming? Unfortunately, I kind of saw it coming. I was expecting either a big announcement, I was expecting something like Hogan or something, or I was expecting it to be Bliss. And sure enough, it's Bliss.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what role the hosts have actually played in the past.
Not much, really. I mean, New Day, the big thing New Day did when they hosted was revealed the Hardys. The Rock burned some stuff, but that was it.
It was obvious. If Bliss is hyping up someone the way she did, she's obviously talking about herself. So
True. That's a good point. Next, we get more SNL stuff. Braun getting a car from those guys, and then proceeding to destroy it. What the hell are you doing with Braun, WWE? He was your hottest commodity just 2 years ago, and now, poof, he's done.
Yep, and I'm afraid they're building a big comedy
Oh, they definitely are. I mean, you can see the writing on, you can see the writing on the wall right now. Like, he's just gonna, like, they're gonna do like a 1-on-2 handicap match with those two guys from SNL against Braun or something like that, and he's just gonna wreck them, and that's gonna be it, and everyone's gonna forget about it a few weeks later.
They might forget about it by the end of the night. Yeah, that's one thing. My son was becoming a really huge wrestling fan, and when he saw what was happening to Braun, I think that was his last straw, and he kind of has, he still watches, but I don't see that same passion, because he definitely wonders, like, where's the creative thinking behind, you have a guy that wasn't supposed to get so hot, he did get hot, why not capitalize on that? And well, now they've kind of forgotten about it.
Welcome to the Wrestling Cynics Club. But yeah, I mean, and you're right, we probably would forget about it by the end of the night, unfortunately. After that, we get more Elias stuff of him singing in the ring. Talks about more. He talks about Pittsburgh, which is his hometown. And then No Way Jose comes out and does a conga line and proceeds to get drop kicked by Elias. Another one that I have no idea what the hell they're gonna do. What they have done with him, rather. And Elias also hits him with the Drift Away. We then get the announcement that Harlem Heat is going into the Hall of Fame, which, good for them. I always liked some Harlem Heat back in the day. And then we get our token Lacey Evans appearance. There she goes. And here she comes, and there she goes. Go away! Please!
Can't even build anything out of that.
No, you can't. It's just dumb.
She's getting to the point of actually contending for the NXT Women's title, and then you bring her up for what reason? To do this? I don't know.
I mean, that whole, out of that whole entire, what's ironic is that, you know, they had that at least fairly big call-up group that they brought in, what, like 3 months ago or so? Like during the whole shakeup. And then they completely forgot about them. And then a few months later, they're like, oh, we need to call up more NXT guys to boost ratings. And those guys are actually being used well. But it's like, you brought all of these people up from NXT on the last call-up, and you've done absolutely nothing with them.
EC3, what's he been doing?
Nothing.
Lacey Evans, well, nothing as well.
The only ones that have even somewhat done stuff, but even this is kind of just like half and half, is Heavy Machinery.
Yep, and even that is half and half, because the oh my gosh, what are their names?
Who?
We Young.
Oh, Sanity?
Sanity.
They're, oh, God, don't even get me started. Oh, that's another one. I even forgot about her, and she was actually getting a push when they first called her up, and I was thinking they were going to do something with her. We haven't seen Nikki Cross in, like, months now.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, my God. I remember reading on an article one day, or I forget where exactly it was. It was either like on an article or a podcast or something. It was like, WWE is at the point, it's so bad now that you just have to laugh at it. Because it's not going to change. You just have to laugh at the stupidity.
Yeah, it's just... I just feel bad. The biggest travesty of the night was, you know, seeing No Way Jose show up with his homage to Naomi with the green hair. And he gets crushed.
Yeah.
Nobody even... I think Michael Cole made a mention of it. And I like Corey Graves. If he's taking a page out of her book, put it back in that book with tape.
Yeah.
I love Corey.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing. You know, we were talking about, you know, NXT call-ups and stuff. Even look at the commentators who have been called up from NXT and look at how they have become, you know, shells of themselves. Corey Graves isn't the same Corey Graves that we had in NXT.
He's done amazing. I think he's a great commentator.
I mean, he's great, but, you know, he's
on both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. But, I mean, it seemed like he did more and he had more fun when he was in NXT.
He's probably more controlled now.
Exactly. We have Natalya come out. She talks about how she realizes that she doesn't really have any friends. She thought Ronda Rousey did, but she doesn't. She doesn't have her back. She doesn't trust Nia or Tamina, but she knows her best friend will have her back, and that best friend is Beth Phoenix. So the next contest, scheduled for one fall, is a quick little DQ match between Natalya and Nia Jax. Bell rings. Nia starts beating up Natalya. Beth jumps in the ring, attacks Nia. Ding, ding, ding. Done. It was about a minute, if that. What?
I was going to say that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, pretty much. Post-match, Beth and Natalya beat them back. Tamina and Nia retreat backstage. And then they proceed to get attacked by Bayley and Sasha in the back before getting pulled apart. Yeah, this was... weird, interesting. I guess we're probably going to get a tag match between Beth and Natalya and Tamina and Nia. Maybe that will determine who will be the Raw representative for the tag titles at Mania.
They're probably going to do a three-way dance between all three teams, because I don't think they're going to bring back Beth Phoenix to just use her on TV and not let her have a WrestleMania.
Well, what I think is probably going to happen, and this was, I think I saw this as a rumor, or it was just people speculating on it, that it's going to be a fatal four-way tag match with Bayley and Sasha facing off against a team from Raw, a team from SmackDown, and a team from NXT. So Beth and Natalya could very well be the Raw representatives.
But then where would that leave Tamina and Nia? Oh, wait a minute.
In the back of the line.
They are.
What?
I said that will leave them in the same place that they've been, kind of like in limbo. Like, they just come out, do their thing, and then really I'm not sure what their thing is, and then disappear.
It'll leave them in the don't call it the Moolah Battle Royal.
Yep. And I'm not really sure this whole Beth Phoenix thing is going to work out too well. She's definitely not the Beth Phoenix that she once was. I like when the commentators yelled, "She hasn't missed a step," and I was like, Are you seeing the same segment that I'm looking at? Because you can tell that she is nowhere near where she was back then. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not saying that she was that amazing wrestler as well. I was very surprised when she was put in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't know. I agree with you. I think that would be a better match for WrestleMania. So again, feel bad for Eddie. The way you mentioned the tag team champions facing a team from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, that actually sounds like a really good match for WrestleMania if built correctly, especially yes. The NXT, whoever the two ladies from NXT are going to be, they have to at least be seen on TV before they push them to that
I
match.
I would assume at this point that if they were going to go this route, that the NXT representative would be the Sky Pirates.
Okay.
But one thing before we move on, I wish, and I mean, I'm okay with Natalya and Beth. And like you said, I was never really the biggest Beth fan. I was surprised that she got into the Hall of Fame as well. But you know who I wish they would have brought in? And I don't know if it's scheduling or what, but what would have worked better as a, you know, this would have been a full Legends-based team instead of only half. But I would have loved to have seen Lita and Trish be the Raw representatives.
Again, I, during their careers, they played their role in, and again, the whole Hall of Fame before some of the other ladies didn't make too much sense to me. But based on their popularity, yeah, that would have definitely sold, and that would have definitely had the fans excited for a match where those two would have been part of. I wasn't very impressed with their latest matches that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And what seemed to be a return, but really was just a one or two off. But definitely, if they would have stayed around, or if they actually came back and they built a good storyline behind it, at least for purposes of the excitement and the ratings and having people waiting for them to come out, yeah, that would definitely make sense.
Next, we get Batista coming into the arena with a bunch of security. Triple H goes to the ring. They go back and forth. We get Batista saying, you know, he's learned from the dirtiest players in the game. I know that, you know, you're gonna try to attack me, so these security guys are here for my protection. It's funny. One of the funnier moments was Triple H basically saying, like, you know, what do you think all of these indie guys are gonna do to me, or something along those lines.
Guardian of the indie scenes.
Oh yes, guardian of the indie scenes. Yes, there we go. Yeah. That was a great line. They just went back and forth a bunch. It was a really good promo. And Triple H kept on trying to get Batista to get into the ring. Batista refused, said, "We're going to do this on my terms. We're going to do this at Mania." And Triple H says, "Okay, you want it at Mania? We'll do it at Mania, but we're going to do the match on my terms, and it's going to be a no-holds-barred match." This is going to be a fun match. That's for sure.
Yeah, I loved the passion from Batista. You could see him shaking. I wasn't sure if he was just nervous, because he himself admitted that his last time that he came out, he was extremely nervous before coming out.
Mm.
But his passion now, all the spitting.
Yeah.
That was, it added to the passion, but I was like, mm-hmm. That's a lot of spitting. But when he starts yelling, "Give me what I want," and then finally he finally says what it was, which was a moment, his last WrestleMania moment, where he decides how to leave in his own terms. It actually built. I was like, man, you know, I was expecting something else. I don't know why, but when he said what it was and the passion that they showed and how he kind of like calmed down, and I enjoyed it. I even enjoyed when he told Hunter, you know why? I did quit, and you know why I wanted to get away as far away from you.
Hmm.
I was like, wow, you know, turning something that really happened and putting it into the storyline is amazing. It's always great for business.
Mm-hmm.
These two older gentlemen, are we going to see what we saw when they were at their peak and Batista was the champion, those three
matches. In terms of match quality on a purely technical level, we're probably not going to get that. But that's what the No Holds Barred match allows for you to do, is that you can just allow them to do more brutal things. And considering the history between these two and the No F's Given personalities and mentalities that these guys have, I have a feeling we're going to see something that we haven't seen in a few years in WWE. You know what that is?
Blood?
Yep. So I think both of these are going to be getting some color. Both these guys.
And it also, it being WrestleMania and it being a No Holds Bar, it opens up for, who knows, a one-time appearance of old vets that haven't been seen or heard of for a while. So,
exactly. Yeah, there are so many possibilities with this match. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, not only for the match itself once we get to Mania, but also to see how they further build this in the weeks forthcoming. Mm-hmm. Next after that, we get Kurt Angle coming out. He talks about his past. He talks about how he left Pittsburgh to compete in the Olympics, where he won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. And that led him to WWE and all of that. He's faced about just about every legend and Hall of Famer in the business. He considers Pittsburgh his home. And that's why I wanted to save this announcement for tonight. His final match will be at WrestleMania. No idea who it will be yet. No announcement yet on who that will be. But then he says he'd like to thank everyone. And then he also says, I want to have one more match in Pittsburgh before I retire as well. Apollo Crews comes out and we have a match. First, let's talk about the promo. What did you think? And we kind of saw it coming for a while, but what do you think about at Mania seeing Kurt Angle for the last time?
It's a good way to go out. All right. Mm-hmm. When he left the company, seeing him in other companies, even the independent scene, it was sad to even think that he might not come back. Mm-hmm. So I really, when they brought him back, Hall of Famer, and now to possibly see his very last match at WrestleMania, I think that's the way a legend that's done so much for the sport and for the company should go.
Oh, definitely.
So I'm definitely happy that he's going to have that opportunity.
So we have the match between Apollo Crews and Kurt Angle scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
And this was a pretty good match. This was a fun little match. Both of these guys have a background in amateur wrestling, and you could see it in this match. It wasn't all that long of a match, but it was a good, solid match. Kurt Angle won with the Angle Slam. Any thoughts on this?
This is one of those... This is the famous scenario that we've discussed and many people have discussed, where you have a talent like Apollo Crews hasn't gone nowhere. I don't think he went anywhere even during NXT, and now he really hasn't gone anywhere since he's been on the main roster. But what a talent he is. I hope at some point he gets a good push towards, even if it is a mid-card title. The match itself, it kind of saddens me to see that how Kurt has kind of declined, because even his last matches in the indie scene before he joined WWE, I was actually amazed how well he looked. One of the matches being him against Cody. I thought that he looked amazing for his age and that he could still give it his all. But once he got back to WWE, kind of saw him slow down very rapidly. And even in this match, as fun as it was, you could tell that he really has declined. and there wasn't really much to it. Like, there wasn't like a build up of us knowing how big of a fan Apollo is of his. So it was kind of weird to see Apollo be the one to come out. But then again, who else could it have been, unless you wanted to do a last match against Baron, and then what would have happened? You know, a loss for either one would have been devastating, I think, mm-hmm. at that point. So, but it was good. It was a good match. It's a good farewell match, I guess, for his Pittsburgh fans, and glad to see him that he's going to get that farewell at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We get Roman Reigns coming out for his match against Drew, but that match never happened because Drew ambushes Roman before the start of the match, throws him into the post, and then hits him with a claymore. He hits him with two claymores, actually. He promises Roman that this is just the beginning. And Seth and Dean come out, just Seth comes out at first, to check on him, and they get him back into the back. Roman says he's just got a little headache and he's okay, and they get back to the, go back to the trainer's room, where Roman agrees to go get checked out. Dean is right there, too, and tells Triple H, I want a match against Drew tonight, Falls Count Anywhere, and Triple H agrees. Before I talk about that match, what do you think about this whole thing?
Well, I'm just happy to see that the old wise owl still has it. last week I mentioned, you know, that as much as a Baron Corbin versus Roman Reigns feud made sense, throwing a little curveball of Drew versus Roman Reigns. And sure enough, I think, first of all, the Scottish psychopath looked as much psychopath as uh-huh. he's looked before. His claymore kick is beautiful. It reminds me when the bro kick was being advertised as the lethiest move in uh-huh. WWE. His claymore kick just is believable. And Roman played it very, very well. And now his new move where he grabs your head and he hesitates that punch and then hits you with it, like they both did their part and they made it believable. And then Roman's post-beatdown reaction, he sold it very well. He even looked nauseous. He was actually selling a concussion mm-hmm. very, very well, to the point that when they showed the first claymore kick that actually connected a little bit, but Roman's head bounced off the ground when he swung himself back, I was like, man, I wonder if he is concussed. Mm-hmm. And then the way he hit the pole, like, he literally saw that very well. Mm-hmm. He walked towards the back as well with Seth, kind of like fighting with Seth, you know, I don't need your help. But then all of a sudden he started like tumbling. So he said, you know what, help me out. And Dean, being Dean, like, he's just looking all crazy, just almost like mumbling, talking to himself. That emotion, this setup for this match, and I actually enjoyed this whole segment.
Oh, again, yeah.
Reigns, I agree with you 100% this week more than last week. If WWE does it right and slowly builds on Reigns, their experiment that failed so badly previously may actually work this time.
Exactly.
If they play it right.
Exactly. And they played it right this week. Yes, they had them come out in the beginning, and yes, they were the main focal point at the end as well, but it wasn't Reigns on his own. It was the whole Shield, and Reigns looked very vulnerable at this moment, and that's how you want to build him at this point, where you don't want to make him be, you know, this juggernaut again.
Mm-hmm. Drew looked amazing. Drew looked just even bigger than him physically.
Exactly. After that, like I mentioned, Dean demands a Falls Count Anywhere match with Triple H. He says, "Hell yeah, let's do it." So that our main event scheduled for one fall.
One fall
is a no disqualification falls count anywhere match between Dean Ambrose and Drew McIntyre. And while, yes, if this were back in the day, it would have been even better, this was a great match. This was a lot of fun to watch. All of the spots that they did, all of the different moments they did. One of the funniest moments, and I don't know if you caught this, but when Drew low blowed Dean, did you hear Renee's reaction?
Yeah, her. Not only did I hear it, the cameras actually put their view on her, on the announcers, and her reaction was like she just threw her hands up and turned around, like I can't see this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's hurting her babies. She doesn't like that. But yeah, this was a great fun match. You know, I know there's a lot of fans who prefer the more technical matches and whatnot, but you gotta love a good old fashioned brawl.
Yeah, definitely. It builds Drew even more. Not only can he fight a technical match, he can also fight a no DQ type mm-hmm. false count anywhere match, showing how brutal he can also be on that side of the aisle.
Yeah.
So I can brawl with the brawlers like a Dean Ambrose. When Dean is left to be the lunatic fringe, I can brawl with that Dean, but I can also go in and fight a Kurt Angle in a technical match. I'm the total package.
Yeah,
pretty much
exactly.
Selling the universe.
Yep. But let's not give Vince any ideas and call him the total package. Let's not make him turn him into Lex Luger 2.0 or anything like that.
No, please don't.
But yeah, this was a great match, great spots. One spot in particular that I've always said, and I think they have done it a few times here and there, but whenever there's like a false count anywhere or no DQ match in a hockey arena, I love when they actually use their environment. They use the hockey boards. Well done.
I'm glad that they also show what happened during the commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
The tables and the area where they were selling the shirts and stuff. I'm glad they actually showed us that, because that was also pretty interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a great match overall, and a lot of fun to watch, and a great way for the show to go off the air. Drew wins with a claymore while Dean's head is sticking out of a stair pole, which was pretty brutal, and then Drew just kept on going after the match. This really makes Drew look very strong.
Even the pen eye poke.
Oh God!
It was obviously you could tell that it wasn't real, but even in slow mo, he sold it really well. And the fact that he did that, the announcer's reaction was like, "What the? You know, this ain't ECW. What the heck is going on here?" That was pretty good as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. These are the match. I want to see more of this in WWE. Overall, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give this show?
Man, I would throw in some fractions in here. I think I would go 8.75 because it was a really good show. Almost a 9, but I'll go with 8.75 because it was really interesting. It was a really good after a pay-per-view build up. It just continued to build towards WrestleMania, and I don't know if they don't fall flat in the next 27 days towards WrestleMania, this could be one of WrestleMania to remember for a while.
I agree with you. And I've been saying that for a couple of weeks now, but I have not trying to be too negative on the road to WrestleMania, but but I've said that in the past of certain manias, looking at the card, that it looked like it could be a very good mania, and then they proceed to make it fall flat. I'll just give it a straight up 8. You know, a lot of it was very good. But some of the filler stuff and some of the, you know, smaller things, they just need to get rid of it. Like, the whole Lacey Evans thing is just ridiculous. Especially if it's someone that's on the roster already, why do you even need a host of WrestleMania? The whole Braun thing, like, I wish that they would make him look more menacing. But besides that, you know, the Kurt stuff was good. The Triple H Batista thing really got me pumped up for Mania. The Drew Dean and Roman stuff was great. This was a very good show overall. What would one word review for this?
I can't remember what I said last week. I think I said hopeful last week. This one will be. There you go. That's it. That's it. What? Yeah, what he said.
Just bark.
I would say this was exciting. It was a very exciting show. I enjoyed it from top to bottom, and I agree with you. The only things that didn't make it a solid 9 were the small little shenanigans outside of the ring. But what happened in the ring and the storytelling and the push, it was exciting to see and can't wait.
I'm going to use a word that has multiple definitions that can all work for this show. And it's brutal. You had the brutal matches and the brutal moments on a positive level between, with the whole Nia Jax and Tamina thing against Natalya and Beth Phoenix, and then the Bayley and Sasha beatdown in the back. You had the whole Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose stuff at the end. You had the brutality and the rage you could feel between Batista and Triple H, and then getting ready for the no holds barred match. That's on the good side. But then on the bad side, you also have how brutally bad, you know, the whole Lacey Evans thing is, and, you know, some of the other segments. So it works on multiple levels.
Agree.
So that'll just about wrap it up for us here. We'll be talking to you next week again for Raw. Be sure to check out Harry and I for SmackDown Live tomorrow. And, well, tonight, technically, or tomorrow. I don't know when we'll record it. But, yeah, for Cedric Cologne, I'm Brandon Biscobing, and we'll talk to you next week.